tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost, God bless you, thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen. Verse number 5 and 9. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool. Verse number 9 says, worship at his holy hill. Tonight I trust you come to worship the Lord. That's what I'd like to try to speak to you about tonight, simply about worship. Amen. If you believe the name of the Lord should be exalted, why don't we do that tonight? Let's just lift up a hand and exalt the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. We love you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Recently, I was writing down some things about what worship is and what worship should be in our life, but I found myself talking about what worship is not. I want to give you those 5 things tonight, Sunday morning, maybe talk about what worship is, but at least 5 things come to my mind from the word of the Lord that worship is not. Amen. But I believe there ought to be an unshakable desire, a conviction in our heart that we ought to worship God. But I'm finding there are a lot of people that don't want to worship the Lord. That we want the blessings of God. We want all that God can do for us. I'm watching a lot of people that get in the midst of crises and begin to call on the name of the Lord and become crisis Christians, almost as using God as a spare tire only when they need him. But I'm not talking to those of you tonight that are at your wit's end. I think he should be called upon in trouble. I think when we are sick, we should call upon the name of the Lord. But I just come to preach to the church tonight, those that are blood washed, those that are sanctified, those that are Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized, that we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. And this we ought to know, that worship should be common in the church. It should be common. Matter of fact, the sanctuary should be flooded with worship to the Lord. A lack of worship should be uncommon. A soul that does not worship God should be out of the ordinary. Somebody that does not lift up the name of the Lord or never uses their faculties to praise God and their instruments that God has given them to worship him, those are the people that should be out of the ordinary. They should fill out a place in our church services, not somebody that wants to magnify the name of the Lord and lift him up. If there's anything we know from the beginning of God's word until the very end, in his presence, men worship His name. The first thing worship is not dependent upon how you feel. Worship is not a feeling. Worship is not an emotion. We are an emotion-based society. Politicians capitalize this regularly. When they want to move an agenda forward, what do? They find a family that is distraught, that will pull at your emotional heartstrings, that makes you feel sorry for the people involved, to disregard the greater. Matter of fact, listen to how they spin gay marriage in California. They'll spin it like this. Shouldn't these two people that love each other, shouldn't these two people that are destined to be together, shouldn't these two people have a right to love one another? But they'll spin it in such a way that people will try to become emotionally stirred. And the same is true with the church in worship. Well, I don't feel like worshiping God. I don't feel like lifting up my hands to worship Him. But can I tell you, if there's anything that I understand about God's word and worship, it is this. Worship is based on truth. It is based on knowledge. It is based on my revelation of who He is. That's why over and over the psalmist said, "The Lord reigneth, therefore praise Him. The Lord is good, so magnify the Lord." The psalmist would reveal who God is, and then he would say, "Praise His name." Can I tell you that some of the greatest psalms that David had written in God's word, when he was a fugitive, when he was fleeing for his life, when Saul was trying to kill him, when Absalom usurped the kingdom away from him, when David was destitute, when David wanted to be in the house of God, but he was all alone, brokenhearted, when he was full of despair, but David still knew who God was. He still had a truth and an understanding who God was. And so tonight, number one, amen, worship is not based on feeling, but it is based upon me and you. If we know that He is the true and the living God, if we know He is our Savior, if we know He is our divine healer, is there anybody that knows who He is? Amen. If you don't know who He is, then don't praise Him. But if you know who He is, if you know that He is your Savior, if you know He is the soon coming King of glory, if you know that beside Him there is no other, if you know that Buddha is not God and Muhammad is not God, they're simply imposters, if you know that the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, I don't care you had a bad day, He is still worthy of praise. I don't care you've got a headache, He's still worthy of praise. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is based on what I know. Now here's the thing about it. You ought to know more than you knew 20 years ago. Shouldn't you? If you've heard 20 years of preaching, how many things that there should be a general inclination that we ought to know a little bit more? Matter of fact, just from your own personal Bible study, you ought to know more about God than you did 20 years ago. So if worship is based on knowledge, and my knowledge is increasing, what should my worship be doing? It's arrogant to come into His presence without a praise. It's arrogance to come into His house and disregard the scripture that says, "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise." I have forgotten who He was. Therefore, I can't praise Him. Should be the admonition of many, many people in this hour. It's not you don't feel to praise Him. You forgot who He is. But when you remember who He is, can you look at Him tonight and say He's your Savior and not want to praise Him? Can you? Can you think about you were destined for hell without Him? But with him tonight, I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I know who he is. My worship is based on who he is. Let's mature past the point where worship is only based on how we feel. That's immaturity. That's children, is it not? Children are based and act on how they feel. If they're not happy, what do they want you to be? Well, they must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed. We make excuses for them because we say they're learning. But adults, we can't make that excuse, can we? You work with somebody that they wake up on the wrong side of the bed and everybody knows it. As an adult, we ought to be mature enough. Just because you're past 18 doesn't mean you're mature enough to do it. I met 50, 60, I met 80-year-olds that hadn't matured yet. But maturity in worship is based on who he is. That's why when somebody can come into his house and never worship him, what I understand, they don't know who he is. They are simply immature in their walk with God. They can't understand, and God has not revealed himself to them. Because when I reveal and he reveals himself, that he is the King of glory, that he is the God of glory, that every blade of grass that blows in the wind was made by him, every bird that flutters its wings was made by him, that the sun and the moon put forth their light because of him, that this world stays in its orbital pattern because of him, that my lungs are functioning because of him. And that God is so great that he sent his son to die on Calvary and shed his blood that I didn't have to go to hell, but I can be saved and I can come into his presence. Oh, glory to God. I know who he is. And if they're going to give presidents and kings, if they're going to give rock stars and movie stars and country stars standing ovations, and me sit there and not magnify my God, amen, not on your life. Beside him there is no other. Beside him, he is the God that made everything, and without him was not anything made, and everything is upheld by the word of his power. He loves me enough. I'm in his presence tonight. Worship's not based on how you feel. Number two, it should not be limited to one position. The Bible talks about they were worshiping standing, kneeling, bowing, lifting up hands. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts a man was running. Worship should not be limited just to one place or one position. His name is to be worshiped. I trust you come to worship him tonight. Number three, worship should not be contrived. Worship can be spontaneous. Worship can even be anticipated. When the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was the psalmist excited? He was anticipating praise. It's all right to anticipate it. It is all right to have a spontaneous outbreak of praise. But friend, I don't believe praise should be manipulated. It's got to come from our heart. If we don't have a praise in our heart. And that's why I enjoyed that singing tonight. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. You know what it did? I forgot about who was singing. And I got to thinking about what a lovely name. Amen. That worship, that singing, that took me into his presence. And I forgot about where I was. I forgot about who was singing. I began to think about that lovely name, that I know that lovely name. I climbed up on the mountain with Abraham, and I began to sing, he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. I began to think about David, when David said,
said, the Lord is my shepherd. I began to think about, he is the Lord my God that healeth thee. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It should not be manipulated. Somebody worship God now. Somebody praise God. Come on, somebody lift your hands. Amen. Somebody stand and magnify God. Amen. Away with that. Amen. Every one of us have a personal responsibility that when we cross the threshold and come into his house, we ought to come to worship him. We ought to come to magnify him. We ought to come to lift up his name. Matter of fact, Jehoshaphat receives the promise in 2 Chronicles 20 that God is going to win the battle. The battle is not theirs, but the Lord's. The Bible said everybody bowed their heads to the earth and worshiped. Sometimes you're just overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God. Are you not? Sometimes we're so humbled down just that he is so awesome. He is so reverent. We seen some friends out the other day that have heard me preach in times gone past and said some complimentary things to us. And I said, I'm young, but I'm still old school. I'm glad my dad raised me that way about the house of the Lord. That this place was different than any other sanctuary. That we didn't take our bags of candy into the house of the Lord. That we didn't do homework in the house of the Lord. That we didn't write. No, boy, it got quiet right there all of a sudden, didn't it? Felt that bounce back. I just hit that back again. They didn't have texting back in that day. But he wouldn't have let me sit in the back of the church and seen both hands down. He'd have known what I was doing in the house of the Lord. There's only one place like this place. This is the house of God. This is the house of his glory. Oh, I'm glad to be able to come in his house tonight, aren't you? Oh, I've watched some people. Hey, man, I really have, man. I've watched some. As the power of God recently flooded this place, I thought, what in the world are you even doing here? Why do you even, you look like you are so miserable here. I mean, I can understand looking miserable while I preach, but we're talking about while there was singing and shouting and worshiping going on. We're talking about one time while somebody was praying through to salvation. Another time while one was seeking the Holy Ghost and half the church was shouting that they were on the threshold of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I just looked around and I saw a handful and I thought, bless your heart, dear sis, why in the world are you even here? Why'd you go to the trouble of getting dressed up, spending $4 a gallon, and even coming to the house of the Lord? You could have stayed home and drank pickle juice and looked a lot happier. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I said, I don't understand it. I said, I don't want to understand it. I've never regretted going to the house of God. It's delight. I said, it's joy, it's peace, it's glory, it's wonderful. Oh, hallelujah, to be able to come in the house of the Lord and worship my God. It's glorious. My impression is you probably live your life like that. Because if you can't be happy in his presence, you can't be happy anywhere. In his presence is, if you can't be happy in his presence. Number four, worship is not dependent on your feeling. Worship should not be limited to one position. Worship is not to be contrived, manipulated. Number four, worship should not be neglected. The Bible tells us about 10 lepers that were healed. The Bible said they were cleansed. They were cleansed. One decides to come back to Jesus, Luke chapter number 17. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Do you think Jesus commends worship? Jesus asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Why aren't they worshiping me? Why did they not come back to praise me? Now, you say, I like it real reserved. That's fine. I do too sometimes. You say, well, I like it a little fast and loud. Well, good. I do too sometimes. I just like his presence. I've shouted and cried on Amazing Grace. The days of Elijah, that song, like I said, they could sing it every service till Jesus comes and it wouldn't be enough for me. I just love that song. But here's how this man was worshiping God. What would you do if you were a leper that wasn't allowed to see your family? You was an outcast of society. Really, all you had to do was hang out with 9 other lepers. That was your lot in life. You got to hang out with 9 other lepers. And then all of a sudden, this Jesus heals you. He cleanses you. What would you do? Here you are. Here's the 10 lepers. What would you do? 90% of the crowd did not go back. One went back, and here's what he said. He turned back, and with a loud, didn't say lewd, said loud. Some people think loud is lewd. Don't get too loud now. Sometimes I want that still small voice. But if you were a leper that had been hanging out with 9 other lepers that didn't think you was ever going to get to go back to your family again, didn't think you was ever going to get a job again, that you were never going to get back in society again, and all of a sudden Jesus healed you, I just kind of believe you've got a propensity you're going to get loud. And so he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. He began to glorify with a loud voice. Amen. You may not be able to get as loud as me. We can't get as loud as Brother Mike. But my God, let the devil hear you get a little bit loud. Amen. Lift up your voice just a little bit. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I never had leprosy, but I was contaminated by sin. Amen. I was locked out of God's presence by sin. There was no hope for me. I couldn't get into his presence, but one day, just like he touched that leper, he healed me of sin. I want to lift up my voice and say, I worship you, I glorify you, I love you, Lord. I'm saved, I'm washed, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, worship should never be neglected. Hallelujah. The psalmist in 3 different occasions referred to the house of God. And you know what he did in Psalm 77 and Psalms 84? Every time he referred to the house of God, they'll still be praising thee in the sanctuary. Praise is comely for the righteous. That's what this place is right here. It's a place of praise. It's a place of worship. Number 5, may get a little quiet right here. Worship is not entertainment. It's not entertainment. There are those that claim they're entertained and worshiping at the same time. But notice Psalms 115 and 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Unto thy name give him glory. Amen. Unto thy name give him glory. Amen. Anytime the focus is more on a preacher, more on a church, more on a denomination, more on a musician, more on the music than it is on his name, something is wrong and praise is being aborted. But every musical instrument, every voice that begins to sing. Every preacher that declares the word of the Lord. Every time we clap a hand. Every time we dance in the spirit. Every time we run and cry. We're trying to lift up. Give him glory. I said give him glory. Lift up the name of the Lord. In the New Testament, Simeon turned praise into worship as an entertainment-based deal. And he got the disciples and he said, hey, can I buy that? Simeon said, hey, how much that gonna cost me? Let me just buy that right there. It was entertainment to him. Anytime the world really begins to love the way the church is functioning, worship is becoming entertainment. And it's not entertainment. This should be from the depths of our heart. Leviticus chapter number 2 talks about the meat offering. As we offer the meat offering to the Lord. And my eyes fell upon the passage of scripture this afternoon that talked about the salt covenant. That don't forget the salt upon the meat offering. Around verse number 12 or 13, somewhere in there. I thought, Lord, what are we talking about here? But then I got to thinking about that meat. And that salt was to take out anything that should not be in that offering. That they were not to offer that meat unless it had been completely purified. Unless it was a whole pure offering to God. We talk about a meat offering being symbolic of our praise and our worship to God. And it is that salt in our lives that pulls everything out of our offering. That when we offer him something, he should receive the glory. He should receive the honor. He should receive the praise and the glory. Worship is not entertainment. So I get troubled. I really get worried when somebody sits asleep in the house of the Lord, doesn't engage the presence of God at his house, and they can be standing on their feet going nuts at the crab concert. I really doubt somebody's salvation like that. Because you have been so worked up emotionally that it's not from right here. Because I'm going to tell you something, friend, right here, right now. I praise God more in this sanctuary when we're not in church service than when we are. This is the place I pray. Oh, I love to come in here and worship God when there's songs, singing going on. But I'm going to tell you, I don't have to have a choir. I don't have to have a trio. I don't have to have a sermon. I don't even have to have a church service to want to worship him. Every time I come into his presence, I want to give him praise. I want to give him glory. You ought to be able to drive down the road. Nobody in the car want to just give him praise and glory. You're not going to help me, but that's all right. Amen. You ought to be able to close that door at work every now and then if you got your office and get down on your knees or just get up in the office and begin to praise him, begin to love him. Oh, I love camp meeting. I love revival and I love church service, but I don't have to have all that. I don't need Peg McCamey telling me that he's God in the valley on the mountain. I've already been on that mountain and I've been in that valley. He's proved himself me when nobody was there, when I needed somebody and I couldn't find anybody. I found him. I said I found him, and I praised him in the darkness of the night. I praised him when there was no song. I praised him when there was no music. I praised him out of the depths of my heart. Bless the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I would to God there'd be an outbreak of praise in this church. Not tonight, but from this time and forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, we got great singing, and that's wonderful. And God bless our singers. Amen, but they lead us into worship. They're not our entertainment crew. They're not They're not our worship team. They're worshipers, but we're worshipers as well. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This ought to be easy preaching right now because I'm talking about the God that saved you. Amen. You ought to want to magnify Him. Amen. I don't understand why I'm stepping on your toes when I'm talking about the God that saved us holy. Hallelujah. You against listening to music? No. Amen. We got XM radio. Amen. You against going to concerts? No. But I'm telling you this. Amen. If it's just emotionally stirred, it'll pass away. But I've got a deep residing conviction in my heart. I know who He is. I'm going to praise Him on Monday morning. I'm going to praise Him on Tuesday morning. I'm going to praise Him on Wednesday morning. Oh, bless the Lord. I'm going to praise Him on Thursday morning. I've been there when people said, "You're doing a good job." I've been there when they walked away and said, "We don't like it anymore." But I still praised Him anyway. I've been there when I felt like it was sunshine. And I've been there when I felt the darkness of night. But I praised Him anyway. I know who He is. I said, I know who He is. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, worship is not entertainment. It's about Him. Oh, it's about Him. Boy, I don't know why, but I feel Nadab and Abihu over there in the Old Testament offering up that strange fire. There they were in the presence of God offering up fire, and we'd say, "Well, man, that's pretty spiritual. Offering up fire to the Lord." Bam. Judgment of God. And then the word of the Lord says in that 10th chapter, I believe it is, 3rd verse, the Lord will only allow those that are sanctified to approach Him. I believe it's in there. Let me find it. Since you're not going to shout, I'll just preach a little while longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 10th chapter. Verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. And before all the people, I will be glorified." You come nigh me. God said, come nigh me with a clean heart, with a pure heart. Nadab and Abihu had done it their way. They said, "Hey, we're just as spiritual as everybody else. We're just as spiritual as Moses and Aaron. We're offering fire." And the fire of the Lord consumed them. They were devoured by the judgment of God. And God said, "If you're going to come before me, worship is a serious thing." Worship is a serious thing. Hallelujah. I'd like to preach what worship is. I've told you what it is not tonight. Hallelujah. I'll save that for Sunday morning. But I'd love to see an outbreak of worship tonight. Because this one thing I know. Complacency is contagious. Praise is contagious. I went into some revivals where I felt like my family was the only one wanting to worship God. And about 2 or 3 services after that, you're like, weight you down. Then I've been in other meetings where we went in there and I felt like I better put it in 5th gear overdrive in a hurry or they were going to leave me. And we got with it. I'd love for worship to be the standard. I'd love it to be the common. Not that we would take it for granted, but that we would have a conviction every time we come into his house. We come with praise. Did you bring an offering of praise to the Lord tonight? Amen. If you brought a sacrifice of praise, would you stand with me all over this building? Let's lift holy hands before the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Mark, come on, lead us in worship tonight. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we love you tonight. Oh, praise him like you know who he is. Hallelujah. Praise him to the level of your revelation. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise him like you know who he is.
And all that is within.